Ms. Benison has mentioned, we're going to be talking about the development of training and education materials for Customs and Border Protection officers, one of our primary partners at Ports of Entry. I'd like to acknowledge both Ms. Benison and Antoinette Lavender, who helped co-author this presentation. So after a brief introduction to what the role of Customs and Border Protection officers are at Ports of Entry, I'd like to talk about the process for developing the materials, some of the results from that development, and then kind of take a look down the road at where we're headed and some projects that are on the horizon. So the first is to talk about the role of public health, the public health role of Customs and Border Protection officers. And as has been briefly mentioned in a previous presentation, their basic role is to identify and respond to the threats, public health threats at ports of entry. Now, because of their unique job role at ports of entry, stamping passports, conducting baggage searches, etc., they have a very unique set of challenges for providing them training. Public health is not their primary function. They have many demanding responsibilities that they have to execute in a very short amount of time, and they have generally limited information to make those decisions. When they're stamping passports in the primary inspection area, they have between 1 and 2 minutes to make a decision of whether that individual needs to be routed into a secondary area for additional screening. So the way we've broken down a public health event, which we're training them to identify, into three categories. The first are ill travelers coming through ports of entry. The second group comprises animals, animal products, etiologic agents, other items of public health significance that may pose a risk due to communicable disease exposure. And then the third group would be the screening of immigrant and refugee medical exams for certain types of conditions, as well as whether the exams are expired or not. So we've looked at this slide briefly before, but this is the health education process, and we've applied that to the development of training and education materials to Customs and Border Protection officers. So the first thing we did was we decided, well, we need to find out what their needs are and how we can meet them. So we conducted a number of focus groups and key informant interviews. We did these at a number of ports of entry, including Miami, El Paso, Laredo, Seattle. And we interviewed both supervisors and frontline officers. We also interviewed the agriculture specialists, CBP officers. And then we conducted some focus groups and interviews with both instructors and students at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center. And this is located in South Georgia, and all Customs and Border Protection officers go there for their basic training and receive a public health presentation while they're there. So the things that we asked them about was we wanted to know what the current training methods were that they were receiving, both during the basic training as well as out in the field. We wanted to ask them about the format of the training. Did they like it? Did they have suggestions? That kind of thing. We asked them for the types of media that they would like to see included in on-site and during basic training. We asked them what types of materials they would like us to provide them out in the field or to take with them from basic training. And then finally, we asked for a number of suggestions and other things that they would like to see developed into the presentations that we have given them. So from these focus groups and interviews, we found pretty much a universal response. They all pretty much said the same thing to these questions. And I've highlighted here the largest, most pronounced suggestions that came out of these interviews and focus groups, which included adding a number of things like job aids that we can provide them to use out in the field to respond to illness, adding video clips, case studies, practical exercises, role-playing activities. These are all types of enhancements to the training that they get, both during basic training as well as out at their ports of entry. They also specifically asked us to address all CBP work environments, and this includes both airports, land borders, and seaports, as well as the types of activities that the officers are actually engaged in, whether they're in passenger processing, stamping passports, whether they're in the cargo area, searching through crates, and et cetera, searching through packages, looking for possible etiologic agents. As well as if they are in the baggage claim area doing secondary inspection. And then finally, they suggested that we utilize computer-based training for both follow-up once they get out into the field, as well as providing them new information as it becomes available. So we've applied these suggestions into a number of areas, number of application areas. I've got five up here, but I want to talk about the three that are highlighted. First of all, the Customs and Border Protection Academy, the basic training, the ring cards, which you saw a brief image of, and we'll talk about those as well. These are the on-site job aids to help guide them in responding. And then finally, a training video that we'll develop, as well as a photo shoot to help enhance the materials that are already currently being used. So the Basic Training Academy is a 15-week program where the officers go and they learn all types of various skills for their job. During that time, we give them a 2-hour presentation. It is given in a very rigid classroom environment. It's a series of tables that are not very mobile for rearrangement to enhance certain types of other learning activities. The size of the room and the curriculum itself prevent any sort of practical activity. There are 48 officers in each of these classes, and they're packed into a very small room. There's very little opportunity to develop practical type activities. And then finally, our presentation is seated very, very early, the third week out of the 15 weeks, which makes it difficult because a lot of the skills that we're providing them are built upon skills that they haven't yet received, such as screening immigrant medical paperwork, and we're telling them about Class A conditions, Class B medical conditions, and they have not had that training by the time we get them in the third week. So some of the solutions that came out of our needs assessment were to just maximize the 2 hours that we've got. This is not really an opportunity to expand the 2 hours. We've asked about this, but their curriculum is very packed. So we can maximize the 2 hours that we have. And while we don't have the opportunity to add our own practical activities, we do have the opportunity to infuse public health elements into current practical activities where they're screening passengers at a mock port, et cetera. We can infuse some public health elements in there as well. So we're exploring those possibilities. So we developed a revised training, this 2-hour presentation. We added case studies, other interactive activities, et cetera. We enhanced the visual appeal of the slides, and you can see a collection of them right here. And then we also simplified the language, took out a lot of jargon, and made the action steps much more easy and simple to follow. So we conducted an evaluation of this training to see whether we're on the right track. And so we took 2 training classes. These are cohorts of 48 officers who go class to class to class for 15 weeks. The first group received the original training presentation. The second group received this new revised training presentation. We gave both groups a 10-question survey instrument, evaluation instrument, immediately prior to giving both of these presentations, and then a post-test immediately following the presentation. We then gave the same 10-question instrument to them 8 weeks later. Now, it's important to remember that they're still at the Basic Training Academy. They have not gone out to their ports of entry. They have received no other public health training other than what they may have individually done on their own. And then we analyzed the results using SPSS. So this chart right here shows the results, and what we did was we group one, the first row, you'll see the mean scores, and we compared the mean scores between the pre and the post test, and then again between the post and the delayed test. We use a p-value of 0.05 as our cutoff for significance, and you can see group one that received the original training had a statistically significant increase in knowledge between the pre and post test, which is the 0.011. Group 2 also had a statistically significant increase in their knowledge before and after the presentation. And what's interesting to note is that Group 1 had a statistically significant drop in their recall after 8 weeks. And this is not unusual because over 2 months worth of time, you would expect that some of the information would slip away. So Group 1 had a drop in their mean scores, while Group 2, who received the revised training, did not see a significant drop over that 8 weeks. Suggesting that the material was retained longer and more information was retained. Now, the other thing that we might have to point out is that since both groups had a statistically significant increase between the pre and post test, we compared those two groups head-to-head to see if one was better than the other. And in Table 2, you can see that the p-value is less than 0.05, indicating that the Group 2 revised training, the increase, which was a difference of 1.8 points out of the 10-point scale, was larger than for the original training, suggesting that the revised training produced a greater impact in having them soaking up the knowledge and recalling that on the evaluation instrument. So what did we learn from this? Basically, because of the results of the instrument, it suggests that the trainees with the revised presentation learned more information during that 2-hour block. It also suggests that they retain that information longer over the 8 weeks because their drop was not significant compared to the group one. However, we also note that this is a continual process, and we need to continue to revise. And although we think we're on the right track, we need to amplify the interactivity to another degree from this study. So, of course, the limitations, it's a very small sample size. There were less than 45 officers who completed all 3 instruments during the evaluation. We only compared 2 different groups of officers, which it would be nice to have been able to include several more. And while the instructor was the same for both groups, on any given day you can have a different presentation experience, so there may be some variability in the presentation delivery. The limitation of time that we had kept the instrument very, very small, only 10 questions. So if we had a larger set of questions, we might get some more variability and have a better understanding of the change. And then also, if you notice that the mean scores for the pretest were quite high, over 70%, which is unusual, seems unusual, so it may suggest that there are some other factors that we're not aware about that we would need to look at. So now I'd like to take, that's what kind of where we were at with the basic training. Now I'd like to take a look at some of the things we're on our way to do. And first of all, we're like interested in doing a video and photo shoot to help enhance both the two-hour presentation as well as materials and other training guides that we can provide them. So this was the purpose of this project. However, we've run into a number of challenges. Basically, it's hard to set up a video camera in a secure area at an airport. Certainly, travelers, there are privacy issues for getting consent to participate. And there's a very, very small window of time. The passenger is at the booth for 2 minutes. It's very difficult to do a reshoot, et cetera. So those are some of the challenges we're facing. And the solutions that have surfaced are, one, staging photographs during downtime of aircraft. In fact, the second photo here from the top was done on a United Airlines aircraft where the passengers had disembarked, but the cleaning staff had not come on board, and we had about less than 15 minutes to get on there and stage a bunch of photos to try to amplify our materials. The other option is that there is a mock port, completely designed port that both includes land border and an airport set that the officers train on down in the Customs and Border Protection Academy, and we're exploring possibilities of using that controlled environment to help us do a very good and professional job with a photo shoot and video shoot. The other item, and we've highlighted this in an earlier presentation, was providing job aids, and we talked about a ring card. So there are a number of challenges that the CBP officers face that we need to think about when designing a job aid for them to follow. And first of all, very, very short amount of time. They don't have time to reference materials. They need it very quick, very easy to access and read. They have to make a lot of decisions simultaneously, and so they need clear-cut guidance for which algorithm to follow. And they need additional instructions because public health, as I said before, is not their primary duty. So anything we can provide to help them make decisions in a quick and timely basis it would be advantageous. And they asked us to be sure to provide the quarantine station of their jurisdiction's phone number so that they can access them very quickly. So this is the ring card, what we've got right here, and I have one example in my pocket. You can see that it's size of a pocket card. It's got very, very small, very easy to read. You can come and take a look at this after the session if you'd like. But up here on the slide, you can see that it's pocket size. We included the criteria, the illness criteria that we're asking to look for in bullet form, very easy to read, very simple. We punched holes in it in a number of areas depending on how they wear their badge so that we can find out what's the easiest way to for them to carry it around so that they leave their post or go into the secondary area, they'll carry the item with them. We created this standout acronym because, well, we love acronyms at CDC. And second of all, it reinforces that we want them to call us when they see something that looks like it's a public health interest. And we provide brief additional instructions, one or two bullet points, very simple, very easy to follow. These cards will be port specific, so we'll have 20 different ones for our 20 different jurisdictions so that they have the direct phone number, which is listed right here, to call the station that they need to contact. And then finally, if they need more information, they can contact the website here. So in conclusion, what did we learn from this process? We basically got a better understanding of the needs for Customs and Border Protection, both in training and on-the-job assistance. We found some possible solutions for meeting these needs in their unique work environment. We developed a more effective training for CBP officers, although that's going to be in continued development to make it hopefully more so. And then finally, we have kind of a roadmap, if you will, on where we need to go from here, and I've given you two examples of where we're headed. So thank you.